Well, hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Malvern Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we're finishing up our sermon series called God on Film. And every week during the series, we've taken a closer look at a different blockbuster movie to see what each of these films can teach us about our faith. And today, we're going to be taking a closer look at the movie Back to the Future, Part 2. And you know, when we think about the future, there are a lot of things that we can worry about. We can worry about problems that we'll face, or people that we're going to have to deal with, or the way that we're going to perform at school or at work. And all of these worries can feel heavy, as Marty McFly might put it. But in this episode's sermon, we're going to be reminded that Jesus tells us not to worry, because God is always with us, no matter what the future may hold. So let's get right into this episode's sermon. It was October 26, 1985, and Whitney Houston was topping the charts for the very first time with the song Saving All My Love for You. Arnold Schwarzenegger was continuing to cement his status as Hollywood's biggest action star with the movie Commando. The Kansas City Royals were on the verge of winning their very first World Series championship in franchise history, and The Golden Girls was all of six episodes into its primetime run. But it was also on October 26, 1985, that Marty McFly hopped into Doc Brown's DeLorean and traveled back to the future for the second time. Now, the first time that Marty had to travel back to the future was when he found himself trapped in 1955 after he had to flee from Libyan terrorists, but that's another story for another day. In Back to the Future Part 2, Marty has to travel through time to save his future son from making a mistake that will land the boy in jail for 15 years. But while Marty is in the future, he comes up with a harebrained scheme about how he can get rich when he goes back to the past, and that ends up affecting the space-time continuum, and he creates an alternate future that leads to havoc and comedic gold. But if I'm being completely honest with you today, I have to admit that my favorite part of the movie Back to the Future Part 2 doesn't have to do with the storyline. My favorite part about the movie Back to the Future Part 2 is all of the predictions that the writers, that the director, that the producer had to make about what the future was going to be like when Marty McFly traveled to it. And the really interesting thing is we actually got to figure out how many of the predictions the people behind the movie Back to the Future Part 2 got right about 8 years ago. Because when Marty McFly hopped into Doc Brown's DeLorean and traveled into the future, they left on October 26, 1985. They went almost 30 years into the future and arrived in Hill Valley on October 21st, 2015. So the future is now in the past, if you can wrap your mind around that. But how did the people behind the movie Back to the Future Part 2 do on all of the predictions they made about what the future was going to be like? Well, let's talk about that for just a minute. Now, probably the most famous prediction that they make about what the future is going to be like in Back to the Future Part 2 is they predict by the year 2015 that we will all have our own flying cars. Anybody fly to church this morning? No, that clearly didn't happen for any of us. But the FAA did certify a flying car prototype for the very first time earlier this year. So maybe that prediction wasn't quite so far off after all. And the truth of the matter is there's quite a few predictions that they made in the movie Back to the Future Part 2 that weren't that far off either. Like, they predicted that the Chicago Cubs would win the World Series in 2015. And when they made that prediction back in the 80s, it was pretty outlandish because the Cubs had already gone about 70 years without winning a World Series championship. But the Cubs did go on to win their first World Series in almost a century in 2016, 1 year after the producers predicted it would happen. They also predicted in the movie Back to the Future Part 2 that by the time 2015 rolled around, that we would all be able to take video conferences while we were sitting in our living rooms. And at this point, just about all of us have taken a Zoom meeting while we've been sitting on a couch. So they did pretty good on that one, too. And if you pay attention to what the TVs look like that Marty McFly took his conference call on, they look a whole lot like the wall-mounted flat-screen TVs that we have in our sanctuary space right now that you probably have around your house, because those things have been around since the late 90s. But even though they did pretty good on some of their predictions, they didn't do great on all of them. Like, just about everybody who's seen the movie remembers when Marty McFly goes flying around the clock tower in Hill Valley in the future when he's riding on a hoverboard. Now, to be completely honest and fair right here, there was a product that was trademarked back in 2015, that was patented back in 2013, not 2015, that was called the hoverboard. But the hoverboard that was patented in 2013 still had wheels on the bottom of it, and it doesn't fly. So we're still a long way off from getting the hoverboard that we see inside of the movies. And they also had a lot of predictions that they made inside of the newspaper headlines, with the newspaper that plays a pretty prominent role early on in the film. So as you look at the headlines, you'll see that the people behind the movie Back to the Future predicted things like that someone would run a 3-minute mile in 2015, and we're still a good ways away from that actually happening. They predicted that Princess Diana would go on to become Queen of England by the time 2015 rolled around. They also predicted that there would be a sport called slam ball that would be making front page news in 2015. But probably their biggest miss when it came to all of the predictions that they made in their newspaper was their prediction that people would still be reading a newspaper in 2015. The reality is that newspaper circulation spiked. It peaked in 1990. And in 2015, that's when we actually start to see a rapid decline in the number of people that were subscribed to a newspaper at all. But what's any of this got to do with us, right? I mean, why do we spend the first 5 minutes or so of the sermon talking about predictions that people made about what the world would be like in 2015? Since clearly we've moved beyond that year now. Well, part of the reason why we spent this time talking about the predictions made in the movie Back to the Future Part 2 is because we're working our way through a sermon series right now at Melbourne Heights called God on Film. And every week during the series, we've taken a look at a different blockbuster movie to see what each of these films can teach us about our faith. But we're also looking at the movie Back to the Future Part 2 and the predictions that they made in it because every single one of us does the exact same thing that the writers, that the director, that the producer behind this film were doing when they were working on this movie 30 years ago. We all spend a lot of time thinking about what the future holds. But for most of us, when we think about what the future holds, we don't spend a lot of time thinking about what transportation is going to look like in the future. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about what fashion is going to look like in the future. We don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about what innovations are going to come around that may change our lives forever in the future. No, when most of us think about what the future holds, we spend a lot of time thinking about the problems that we're going to encounter in the future. We think about the people that we're going to have to deal with in the future. We think about the way that we're going to perform when we're at school or work in the future. Or to put it another way for you, we all worry about the future. We do. Every one of us worries about the future. And yes, that means that you worry about the future too. You've worried about the future the day before you started at a job in a brand new company because you didn't know if your boss and your coworkers are going to be people that you could get along with or not. You worried about the future when you welcomed your first child into this world because even though you were excited to have this little bundle of joy, you didn't have any idea how to actually take care of her. You didn't know how to change a diaper, to give a bath, or even how to hold your baby the right way. You worried about what the future held when you were wrapping up college and getting ready to enter into the real world, as we call it, and you weren't sure what your job prospects were going to be. I know I worried a lot when I was finishing up college because I had spent 4 years and about $80,000 earning a degree, but I couldn't find a job in my field. So I spent my first 3.5 years after I graduated college working in a toy store wondering if I had wasted a whole lot of time and a whole lot more money to get that degree. So yeah. We all worry about the future and what the future holds for us. But whether you're worried about starting a new job or raising kids or something else altogether, a lot of our worrying about the future comes from the same place. We worry when things are out of our control. That's what causes most of the worries that we have. We worry when things are out of our control. I mean, that's why you worry before you start your first day in a brand new company. The way that your boss and your coworkers feel about you is out of your control. And you worry when you bring your child home for the very first time because the way that another human being is going to behave is out of your control. You worry when you finish up college and you get ready to enter into the workforce because the jobs that are available to you are largely out of your control. So yeah, the reality is that there's a lot that we can worry about because there are a lot of things that are out of our control. And because of this, it kind of makes it hard for us to really want to listen to what Jesus has to teach us in the scripture passage that I want us to take a closer look at today. And I can show you what I mean if you'll grab a Bible, if you've got one close by. Or if you've got an app on your phone, you can just open up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And as you're finding Matthew 6, I'm just going to remind you that Matthew 6 is part of the largest, the longest recorded sermon that Jesus ever preaches, something that we usually refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to touch on a lot of different topics and a lot of different subjects. And part of what he talks about in Matthew chapter 6 is worrying. So let's take a look at Matthew 6 together, and let's see what Jesus has to say about worrying. We're going to start reading in verse 25. Here's what Jesus says. It says, therefore, I say to you, don't worry. With everything that we have in our world that we can worry about, with everything that you have in your life that you can worry about, with all of the things that are out of your control, Jesus says, don't worry. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unimaginable that Jesus would say this, but there's no denying it. It's right there in black and white. Well, maybe it's red and white if you've got one of those red letter editions of the Bible, but it's still there. Jesus says, don't worry. But before we all get too blown away by the fact that Jesus simply says, don't worry, let's look and see what else Jesus has to tell us inside of this passage. So once again, let's look at Matthew chapter 6. I want to start again in verse 25, just so we can see what Jesus says in its entirety. So Jesus tells us, therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Who among you by worrying can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat and what are we going to drink or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. So instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, if you've spent much time around the church over the years, this is the version of this story, this passage that we're all used to hearing. In this passage, we hear Jesus tell us not to worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear. But if we're all being completely honest with ourselves, we don't really worry about those things anyway. We don't worry about where our next meal is going to come from. We don't worry if we're going to have clean water that we can drink. We don't worry if we're going to have clothes on our back. I mean, we live in a country today where food is readily accessible to just about all of us. We can go to a grocery store and buy food there. We can go to a restaurant and dine there. Some of us even grow little gardens in our backyard where we can pick our own food. So we don't have to worry about where our next meal is going to come from. Or when it comes to the clothes that we wear, most of us have closets and dressers and wardrobes that are absolutely jam-packed with clothes. Most of us have more shirts than we could wear in a month without even having to do laundry again. Most of us have more shoes than we could wear out in 10 years. So don't really have to worry about are clothes. But that's not what the world was like when Jesus first preached this sermon. When Jesus first preached this sermon about 2,000 years ago, there weren't grocery stores on every street corner. There weren't restaurants scattered all over town that people could go and eat in. So people legitimately had to worry about where their next meal was going to come from. And unlike us today, where we have closets and dressers and wardrobes crammed full of clothing, back in Jesus' time, people likely had two outfits. They would have one outfit that they would wear while the other outfit was being cleaned. And that was it. So they legitimately, when they put on their robes or tunics, whatever they were wearing that day, they had to be concerned if they might bust a seam or if the fabric might fail when they were wearing it that day. But that's not the world that we live in today. So it makes it hard for us to really appreciate what Jesus is telling us in this passage. So I think it may help if we look at this passage in a slightly different light. I think it may help if we look at this passage in a different translation that speaks a little bit more to how we live, the world that we live in today. So what I want us to do now is to take a look at this passage again, but this time I want to look at it in the Message translation to see what it says. So here's how this passage is translated in the Message. It says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food that you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes that you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you can count far more, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money that's wasted on fashion, do you think that it really makes much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside of them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way that he works fuss over these things. But you both know God and how God works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God's provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. So give your attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Now, I want to be completely and totally honest with you here. I know that all of us have a lot that we can worry about when we think about the future, because there is so much that could happen in the future that is outside of our control. But at the very least, when we hear what Jesus is teaching us in this passage, it should stop and make us ask ourselves a question. It should make us wonder, what are we really worried for? Not what do we worry about, but what do we worry for? Because like this passage asks, when you worry about what the future holds, has that ever made you an inch taller? When you worry about what the future holds, has that ever kept one of your hairs from turning gray or helped keep one of your hairs from falling out of your head? When you've worried about what the future holds, has that ever made it any easier for you to actually put a meal onto your table? When you worry about what the future holds, has that ever helped make your clothes look any more fashionable? Of course not. It's not what worrying does. And I know what I'm about to say may be hard for some of us to hear and even harder for us to accept, but the truth is that there may be a lot for us to worry about, but worrying doesn't make any difference. There may be a lot that is happening in your life, a lot that is outside of your control that you can worry about, But worrying doesn't make any difference. It's not going to make you any taller. It's not going to help keep your hair one color. It's not going to make it any easier to put food on your table or keep your clothes in style. Worrying doesn't make a difference. And if what Jesus tells us in this passage is true, and it is, then when we look at the birds in the sky and we realize that God makes sure that they're fed, and when we look at the wildflowers that are growing out in the field and we realize how beautiful God has made those, even when we may not even see them, then we should realize that if God takes care of the birds and if he takes care of the flowers, then God's going to take care of us too. So what do we actually accomplish when we worry, especially when we worry about all of these things that are out of our control? Well, we don't accomplish anything good. What we really accomplish when we worry and when we focus on all of these things that are out of our control, about what the future may hold, the only thing that that actually does is it pulls our attention from what God is doing in our world and in our lives in the present. So when we get so caught up in worrying about what the future may bring for us, we fail to realize what God has already brought us in our lives. We fail to realize everything that God has helped bring us through. So yeah, there's a lot that we can all worry about, because there are so many things that are out of our control, so many things that we can't do anything about. But when we start feeling that way, when we start worrying about what tomorrow may bring, when we start worrying about the food that we're going to put on our table, the clothes that we're going to wear, when we start worrying about the problems that we may encounter tomorrow, or the people that we're going to have to deal with, or the way that we're going to perform at our school or in our jobs, it's pulling our attention, our focus away from God. So what we need to do is to remember what Jesus taught us in this passage. When Jesus said, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow, because God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. In the end, what Jesus wants us all to realize is even though we like to get preoccupied in thinking about what the future may hold, even though we will spend time doing the same things that the people behind the movie Back to the Future did, and we'll start working out problems that may happen decades down the road, we need to realize that God is faithful to us, that God was faithful to you yesterday, that God is faithful to you right now, that God will be faithful to you tomorrow and the next day and 30 years down the road, because God has always been faithful to us. And if we can remember that, if we can remember that God is with us, just like God is with the birds in the air and the flowers in the field, then the problems that may come up tomorrow, well, they don't feel quite so heavy, as Michael J. Fox's character would probably say in the movie Back to the Future Part 2. Instead, when we realize that God is with us and cares for us just like he cares for the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field, we realize that God cares for us enough to help us face whatever the future holds. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, you know that there are times that all of us start worrying about what the future holds for us. We worry about what our health is going to be like in the future. We worry about what our relationships are going to be like in the future. We worry and we wonder about what our jobs are going to be like. We worry if our companies are going to stay afloat, if artificial intelligence is going to replace us. We worry about so many things, God. Help us to realize that all of this worrying that we do doesn't really make a difference at all. Worrying doesn't help us one bit. It's not going to make us taller. It's not going to make our hair brighter. It's not going to make it easier for us to put food on the table. It's not going to make our clothes look any more fashionable. The only thing that we do when we worry, God, is we pull our attention away from you. And you are a God who has always been with us. Every moment of our lives, you are a God who will be with us no matter what the future holds. So God, instead of worrying about what tomorrow may bring, help us to celebrate everything that you have brought to us, everything you have brought us through up till now. And let us rest in the knowledge that if you were with us yesterday, then you're with us today. And you will be with us tomorrow, no matter what the future holds. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has reminded you that even though there are so many things in this world that we can worry about, because there are so many things that are out of our control, that worrying doesn't really make a difference. Worrying is never going to make us an inch taller. It's not going to keep our hair from turning gray. It's not going to help us put food on our table. All worrying does is pull our attention away from God. But when we can keep our attention focused on God, we never forget that God has always been with us, that God always will be with us, no matter what. And if God is going to take care of the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field, then God's going to take care of you too. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of our sermon podcast, and that's going to do it for this series called God on Film. So in our next episode, we're starting into a brand new series called Above All, where we're going to be taking a closer look at some of the different names for God that we find inside of the Bible. So we hope that you'll come back and join us when our next episode drops. As always, if you subscribe to our podcast, that episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time at mhbclouisville.com/live. We would love for you to come and join us. But until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I'll be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.